Moncrief on News Talk. TV
on the radio.
Roll it there, cadet.
Hey, how you doing?
Bazinga.
Well, I didn't expect the kind of Spanish Inquisition.
One for everybody in the audience.
It's going to be legendary.
You just crossed over into the Twilight Zone.
There'll be no official autopsy, no photos, no record of death. We'll just identify the body, then they'll burn it. No one gets the ashes. No one will know, not even his family.
What about Danny?
No, not even Danny. Richard Roper will remain a missing person, and you, Jonathan Pine, he never came to this godforsaken place.
That is The Night Manager. The second season is on the BBC, though it also starts on Prime Video on January the 11th, later this week. Olivia Fahey is with us to tell us all about it. Afternoon, Olivia. I can't even remember if I watched the first season of this. It was such a long time ago.
Honestly, yes. When you think about it, it was nearly 10 years ago. So 9 years is a long time between seasons. But, you know, here we are. We actually did get a second season, which, you know, there's no book to base it on this time. The first season was based off John le Carré's book. And essentially what they've done is David Farr has taken the concept and just made another season out of it. And a lot of people are kind of a bit like, really? Are you sure you want to do that to something that's so precious to people? But actually, the first two episodes have been very good. So I'm actually cautiously optimistic so far.
Okay. And then in the first season, it was like he was a spy, but he was just posing as a manager in a hotel.
Yeah. So basically, part of the Night Owls. Now, this is going back of what my memory can remind myself. So he's part of the Night Owl group who basically they operate out of hotels to try and catch shady people doing shady things.
Okay.
And in the first season, that shady person was Hugh Laurie's character, Richard Roper. And they had encountered each other in Egypt, even though it was filmed in Mallorca. But he ended up, sorry, spoiler alert for people who haven't seen season one. As you heard there, Richard has actually passed away. He was captured by his Syrian opposition. And it's confirmed then at the beginning of the second season that, yes, he has been killed, but nobody else knows.
Okay, right. And so the premise for the second season, is that connected to that story at all?
It
or is he
a
investigating
bit. So
a
basically, Danny, who was mentioned in the clip there, he is Richard's son and he's still kind of operating in his dad's world, but not really. But when Jonathan, played by Tom Hiddleston, his character is now referred to as Alex Goodwin. So he's undercover again in a London hotel. And he actually comes across one of Roper's mercenaries in London. And that sends him down off another path and he ends up in Colombia.
Right. OK. And what's his general mission, or is that a spoiler to tell us what it is, what he's trying to achieve here?
Catch the bad guys, I think, is the best way I can describe it. His new target is a character called Teddy Dos Santos. He's a Colombian businessman. He's played by Diego Calva and he's gotten involved with Danny, who's played by Noah Jupe, whose brother, I believe, is actually playing the young Hamnet in Hamnet, the movie.
Right, okay. And Olivia Colman is in, she's his boss.
She is indeed. So she's back as Angela, the head of Foreign Office's International Enforcement Agency. So they kind of oversee these MI6 kind of investigations.
Yeah, kind of stuff. Now, is it a kind of a, you know, some of these spy stories are kind of a bit talky and you have kind of shambolic people. This, my vague memory of it is leans more in a kind of a James Bondy direction, not quite as cartoonish as that, but it's that everyone has nice houses and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's like James Bond, but, you know, in the Riviera. And it's just like you get to see like all the fancy rich people kind of like doing rich people things. It's very like pretty to look at. But it does have a lot of shoot, bang, bang explosions kind of going on. And even actually the end of the first episode, we had shootings, murders, dead bodies and explosions going on in the end of the very first episode. So it kind of makes sure that people were drawn back in. I think it was very clever of them to do it that way and dropping it on New Year's Day as well, because people were just like curled up in the fetal position waiting for death with their New Year's Eve hangovers kind of thing. So yeah, no, I think they're off to a good start and I just hope that they can keep the momentum up.
Yeah, okay. And maybe the gap is just that we're just waiting for a Tom Hiddleston to be
Available. Yeah, because he's been so busy with the Marvel Cinematic Universe, with his Loki series, which, by the way, if you haven't watched it, it is actually brilliant. Even if you don't really like Marvel-y things, Tom is just so charismatic, you just need to see it.
Yeah, and, you know, well, I suppose good get both him and Olivia Colman.
I know, like Oscar winner. I don't even think she had her Oscar when she did season one, or had she just won it? I forget now. I'm sure someone will text in to let us know. But yeah, like when you think about it, like she is now one of the biggest actresses in Hollywood, let alone doing British television kind of thing.
Yeah. Assuming the night manager has to actually manage the hotel, how does he have time for all the spy stuff? Do they explain that?
He's just very good at multitasking, really. Yeah.
But like, do you see him having to let in drunk people who've lost their keys? That kind of thing?
Sometimes, yeah. Like, he is still working as a manager in a hotel, so he does have to do like a little bit of work. But, you know, you could say the same thing about all the managers in The White Lotus. They don't really seem to be doing a lot of work either.
That's true. That's true. It's mostly plotting and stuff like that. Right, our next show when it arrives then on Prime... I assume that it's the whole series will arrive on Prime.
Do you know, I've actually been looking that up because I was trying to figure it out. Are they doing the weekly drop? Because it's not finishing on the BBC until February 1st. So I think, because Prime actually have a tendency of doing weekly drops themselves. So I think they're just going to drop the first two episodes and then it'll be releasing the next episode as we go. Because we have two episodes out now. And it's going to be released on Sundays on BBC One from here on out, if that makes
right.
sense.
Okay, right. Okay, our next show is on Netflix. It's called, it's the new one from the pen of Harlan Coben. It's called Runaway. Here's a clip.
I was extremely funny.
Ew. Dad, can somebody please muzzle him when we meet my hall mates?
1, 2, 3.
Get out of the way!
What the hell are you doing? Paige! Paige!
I'm afraid you need to leave. This is a crime scene.
I'm a PI. I'm working with the police.
I'm Detective Fag Benley.
I really need to speak to your daughter.
I don't know where she is.
She's missing.
She's missing.
She is.
Right, so Irish and British cast for the most part.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's actually been like the trend throughout all of the Harlan Coben series so far. And I have to say, like, it just seems to be getting weirder and weirder and weirder, but we're all sitting there being like, give us more, give us more, give us more. Like, it's just that kind of addictive telly that even if you're kind of like raising eyebrows through it to be like, what the heck are they talking about here now? You just keep going back for more because you want to see what happens. And with all of the twists and turns, and in this one, I have to say, Runaway has won, even as they unravel the reveal at the end, it's still full of twists and turns as they're going through all of the reveals. You're kind of like, hang on a minute, so this and this and that and that. But you're still, like, satisfied at the end of it, which is good.
But they're quite soapy, the adaptations of his
they
work.
They are,
really.
But you know what? Sometimes that's what you need. And I think, again, like with The Night Manager, I think Netflix are very clever that they do tend to drop these series on New Year's Day because they know that people are going to be sitting on their couches and there are just a ready audience for something a little bit like this. They want something engaging, but something they can also watch while horizontal.
Yeah. Right, so we have James Nesmith, Minnie Driver, in it. So, like, what's the setup? What's the premise?
So they're playing husband and wife, and essentially Simon and Ingrid, they have this daughter, Paige, who goes missing, and suddenly, months later, he sees her busking, but she's strung out on drugs, and he's kind of wondering, like, what the hell's going on? Ends up beating up her new boyfriend, who is kind of like, well, clearly he's kidnapped her away from us. And ends up getting arrested. But in the meantime, he also decides that he wants to hire a PI to find her. And the PI is played by Ruth Jones. Absolutely brilliantly. If you're a fan of Gavin and Stacey, this is like a role that is completely different to that of Nessa. So I really enjoyed seeing her like sink her teeth into this. And it turns out that Paige's disappearance could also be linked with this case that the PI is working on about all these men who keep sort of coming up dead who were all part of the same cult. So it's a little bit twisty-turny, and like that's all I can pretty much say on it.
Okay, and is it's set in England, I assume?
It is set in England, yeah. So a lot of his stories are set in the US in the books, but they've been transferred over to the UK for the majority of the series. Like if you've like some of his other works have been Missing You, Fool Me Once, Gone for Good, The Stranger, Stay Close, which actually Today FM's Dave Moore worked on part of the music for that. The Innocent, Hold Tight, The Woods, Safe. Like, the list goes on. And
yeah,
he's got more in the works as well.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. He certainly does. Right, okay. So, our third show is, of course, The Traitors UK Series 4. Here's a clip.
Judy seems lovely, but I'm bound to say that, considering she's my mum. Bloody hell, well, my mind's scrambled.
Keeping it secret, just because I think if you come in as a pair, it's almost like an alliance.
Well, There we go. That's The Traitors. Now, has it launched? Has it started?
Yes, when I'm starting on New Year's Day. And
yeah, again.
So we, again, lots of things landing on New Year's Day because they know they've got the ready audience. And so we've had three episodes so far, but what a three episodes we've had. It has been a roller coaster. We have a secret traitor who not even the audience at home knows. The traitors that have been picked in their green cloaks don't know who it is. And our secret traitor has a red cloak. So just to make them a little bit more mysterious. They have been kind of giving the traitors three names on a list. And the traitors then have to pick who to kill from that list. Instead of having kind of free reign and being able to make their own plans, there's another traitor that's kind of been like the puppet master throughout the series so far. But I have to say, this year's faithfuls have been doing a great job. Hugo, who was a traitor, was voted out of the second round table. So that was absolutely brilliant for the faithful. And now it's actually going to be in episode four. We get to see who the secret traitor is. And I think that's a clever move by the production team, because at the end of the day, you don't really want to leave it too long before everybody at home has figured it out and you're just dragging it out before you actually reveal who it is.
Mm.
So by taking control over the narrative that like, you've had the first week of the mystery, a lot of buzz, you've left it on the cliffhanger for the couple of days, and by Wednesday we'll be ready to rock to see who is under the red cloak.
Yeah, and so are they, for this season, are they maintaining the standard?
Yes.
Yeah.
It is still like you are just gripped to your television screen. And one really, really funny moment over the breakfast table during episode three was when they were all talking about, wouldn't it be really funny if there was like a hidden detective among us? And of course, we know that there is. Amanda is actually, she's a former detective. She now works as a volunteer for a charity group. And but then we were also talking about how Harriet, who took down Hugo, is also a former barrister, but she's a thriller writer now. But she was hiding the fact that she used to be a barrister. But Hugo was very vocal about having been a barrister. And that was nearly his downfall, because they were like, if I knew that there was a barrister amongst us, if I was a traitor, I'd get him out quick. So if he's still here, then he must be a traitor. And that's exactly how they got him out.
Right. Okay.
It's so good. You're looking at me as if you're like, I still don't get it. But I tell you, it is good telly.
Is it better than the Irish one? Or is that an unfair question?
That is an unfair question, because I love all traitor series equally. I think there have been some that have been better than others when you look back at them as a whole. But we're only three episodes into this. We still haven't probably gotten to the most like jaw-dropping moments of this series yet.
Mm.
Like we found out that we have a mother and daughter, or rather had, sorry, Judy, that we had a mother and daughter in the show, that they were keeping it secret. So there's only one of them left now because the other one got banished. I have a feeling there's another familial relationship in there. I'm not sure what it is, but I just the way that Ellie and Ross were kind of engaging on the train, it felt very put on, very fake. So I think that they have a secret relationship going on as well. But, you know, we've got another couple of episodes to find out what else is happening.
Right. And you also wanted to mention the US traitors.
Yeah. So I'm trying to find out. I'm hoping that it's going to land on BBC or RT Player when it launches on the 8th of January. But Maura Higgins is going to be a contestant on it.
Wow.
So in the US, they keep it with the celebrity sort of version, or rather former reality TV stars. They're the ones that get picked for the US version. So it is like, but they go at it. If you haven't seen the US version, like it is like the claws come out at that round table and they are like screaming at each other. So if you want that high drama version, that the US one launches on the 8th of January, but we're full on into the UK version so far. Episode 4 lands on Wednesday.
Okay. I wonder how that's going to work out for Maura. It'll make her an even bigger name,
yeah.
I assume. You were happy with the end of Stranger Things?
Oh, I was.
Yeah.
Because for me, it was kind of what I expect it, because like for the three episodes that dropped on Stevens's Day, they were very much like the character development, like tying up the loose ends. So we could just have an action packed kind of conclusion to the story for the 2 hour extravaganza on New Year's Day. I thought they did a great job. The action was great. The CGI was brilliant. I liked the like, I know a lot of people were saying like, but nobody died. I'm like, did they need to? Like, are you mad that like, people from the Goonies didn't die? Are you mad that people from Star Wars don't die? Like, it is what it is. Like, you don't have to kill people like Game of Thrones in order for it to be a good ending. And I think if people go back and watch it again, you'll probably see all of the good. Like, the Duffers knew exactly what they were doing and they stuck to their guns, and they still toyed with the fans by having Steve dangling off a falling tower at one point. So it's like they knew what they were doing. It wasn't fan service. I actually thought that it was a good finale. Is it going to go down as one of the best? Who knows? But it still was good. It wasn't bad.
So, well, would you suspect that the Duffers were looking at all the various theories that were out there as to what was going to happen, and then kind of were toying with that a little
bit. They openly said, they were like, what more could we do to Steve? Because people were saying, oh, please don't kill Steve. It's going to ruin my 2026 if you murder Steve. And they were kind of like, well, you know, we always tend to like beat on him. So like, we have to do something to him. So this, it was definitely like a point that they had in their heads, that they knew that something was going to happen to Steve.
Yeah.
Whether or not he did survive to the end, I'm not going to say on air. But, you know, they did toy with that whole angle in the episode, which I thought was really, really clever.
Yeah. Now that it's gone, what's going to fill that gap in people's hearts?
I actually don't know. Maybe the play, because the play is on in the UK. It's on in the West End. So I know that I'm booking tickets to go see it for the second time, because there is a gaping hole in my life that is like Stranger Things shaped. And like, it's been one of my favorite shows for the last 9 years. So I am actually, yeah, Stranger Things has aired in the gap between the seasons of Night Manager. So if people were giving out that we had to wait 3 or 4 years for an episode of Stranger Things again, we've had to wait 9 years for the Night Manager.
Fair point. Olivia, thanks a million. As ever, Olivia Fahey.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.